There it goes.
Taylor Ferguson is an aspiring rancher in West Denver.
Well, I mean, this is it.
He's walking through a hot, humid metal shipping container in the city's Westwood neighborhood.
Right now, it's not terribly glamorous.
In a few months, this box will be his ranch.
There will be like a wall here and a door. And when you open this door, you'll walk into our farm, which is just shelves of crickets.
Yeah, he said crickets. Ferguson and his business partner, Wendy Lou McGill, are starting Colorado's first cricket and mealworm farm, where the insects are grown for people to eat, not as bait for fish. McGill calls them micro livestock, and they already have customers lined up to buy them.
It's a food. It's not a food that's in our culture currently, but it is a food, and it's a food for a lot of people around the world.
The people pushing insect cuisine make compelling arguments. They say insects are high in protein and calcium, and they're easier on the environment, requiring fewer inputs than other protein sources. They produce a lot less waste. Even the United Nations is on board with the idea. But if taking a bite of your first cricket taco makes your stomach turn, there's a whole other industry churning out products meant to look and taste just like the meats you're used to.
As you can kind of see as I form it, I mean, it really holds its shape, so if you want to make, you know, a meatball or something like that.
Devin Brunts is a food scientist at Rodell Inc. in Fort Collins, Colorado. He's in the company's test kitchen, forming a brown, soy-based mush into a patty.
Yeah, or you can just throw it in a pan, ground it like that, and then you got ground meatless meat.
Brunts's company takes the tack of meat mimicry. There's no point in reinventing the wheel, Brunts says. Give grocery store shoppers something that tastes like beef without the baggage. But that's easier said than done.
Everything you can imagine we failed on. It never gets any easier hearing somebody go, ugh, when they taste something you just created that you thought was all right.
But for all the innovation, the sales of protein alternatives still pale in comparison to the money spent on traditionally raised meat. Think of the average person's protein consumption as a pie chart. The biggest pieces of that pie are poultry, beef, and pork. Then there's the teeny tiny sliver, so small you can barely see it, devoted to meat alternatives like Brunts's soy-based hamburger.
Do I ever think it's going to overtake pork, chicken, or beef? I don't think in my lifetime. But do I think it's going to become a bigger piece of the pie? Yeah.
But with more businesses popping up to fill this growing niche, just how big could that piece of the pie get?
Boy, that's a $64 billion question that nobody knows the answer to yet.
Maureen Ogle is an historian and the author of the book In Meat We Trust, which charts Americans' carnivorous diets over the decades.
The only thing that will make lab meats mainstream will be some fundamental shift in culture or possibly in climate that simply makes meat production too politically or too economically expensive.
Ogle says other savvy entrepreneurs have attempted to sway Americans away from meat throughout history to little success. But she says right now there's unparalleled momentum toward protein alternatives, with millions of dollars being pumped into plant-based burger companies and laboratories where chicken and beef cultures are grown in petri dishes.
We could be on the cusp of a shift where people will finally stop eating so much meat.
But that shift, Ogle says, will depend on much larger cultural, economic, and environmental factors far beyond the scope of your average startup cricket farm. And it probably won't happen anytime soon. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.